Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
You're all very, very welcome back. Now, as we said at the top of the programme yesterday, the Irish women's football team flew out to Australia ahead of their first ever World Cup, which starts on July 20th. The squad departed with their manager, Vera Powell, having once again to deny allegations of bullying in her former team, Houston Dash. I'm joined now by sports pundit Joanna Reardon to discuss this, along with the team's chances of success. Joanna, you're very, very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, before we talk about the tournament itself, how did they do in their final warm-up game on Thursday night?
Yeah, it was a bit of a tale of two halves kind of vibe. They did very, very well for the first maybe 40 minutes. And then I suppose like a top team always should. France, who are fifth in the world, literally just took control of the game. Got three very, very easy goals from very individualistic mistakes that I'm sure Vera and the team will be looking at. And yeah, I think basically from then on, it was just, you know, France were able to dominate and manipulate the game. But it was very promising at the start for sure, with the direct runs from Kira Caruso, Sinead Farrelly, Dinkin and Balls, Denise O'Sullivan, you know, doing her part, and the defence standing up really, really well to a top French team. But, you know, it's just to keep that performance consistent throughout the 90, I think.
Yeah, and listen, let's talk about the squad. Who, Joanna, are the key players, and what kind of football can we expect from them?
Yeah, so I suppose we're one of the very few teams who have got very few forwards actually going forward. So the main players would probably be Courtney Brosnan in goals. Her, you know, incredible rise, you know, to being a top goalkeeper for Ireland is an incredible story, to be fair. You've got Katie McCabe, team captain. You know, she's, I think, literally the poster child for this women's national team. Denise O'Sullivan, who has been the three-time named North Carolina Courage best player, MVP is what they call it. For her side, even in times when they've won the actual NWSL, she's been their top player. And then you have the likes of, you know, Kira Caruso up top, Marissa Shiva, who's just swapped over from the United States, Sinead Farrelly, who's also done the same, Louise Quinn as well in defence. So yeah, I think the type of play that we could expect is probably, you know, quick counter-attack, well-paced kind of games, and I suppose just catching teams on the hop more than anything.
Well, look, we're in Group B, Joanne, along with the hosts, Australia. Who else makes up that group? Is it a tough group to be in?
Yeah, so I suppose the group is under spotlight at the moment. So we've got Nigeria at the moment, who are currently threatening to not actually play their opening game at the Women's World Cup due to issues that they have with their federation. And I think the federation are currently looking into firing their coach just a week out nearly from the Women's World Cup. So that's definitely one to look out for. And then you've got Canada, who are also playing under protest at the moment. They're the Olympic champions, so they're the top of their era at the moment. So yeah, they're also playing under protest because they feel they're not getting their fair share from the Canadian Federation. And yeah, the Canadian Federation is also looking into filing for bankruptcy as well. So should be a very interesting one, I think.
A lively group, Joanne. I think it was Katie McCabe in frustration earlier this week, I think at one of the press conferences, was saying, "Cheers for all the questions on the sports lads," because undoubtedly these new or fresh allegations of misconduct against Ireland's manager Vera Powell when she coached in the US, and this was, I think, new allegations against her this week, anonymous allegations against her this week from her time as a coach at Houston Dash, have the timing has been really unfortunate in terms of Ireland's campaign. How has she responded?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, Vera obviously is vehemently denying all the allegations that are put against her. She's very much saying that if she was a male coach, she would be praised for all her methods that she's done so far. So I suppose for context, the Houston Dash former players and former staff anonymously are saying that she's a very controlling manager. She controls the weights, the weight of players, which is a very touchy subject, especially in women in sport, whereas Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho regularly actually critique their players and their fitness levels and their weight, and they're praised all the time. So I can see her point of view from that. But the fresh allegations is that she's basically got physical twice, I think, during her time with the Houston Dash. One was when she was intervening in a situation when a coach was trying to give a player an instruction, and she allegedly caught the coach around the collarbone, and she said, "Look, I'm the only one who's coaching here." So basically insisting they back off. There is also the other allegation that she never announced herself going into women's dressing rooms. Again, she vehemently denies all this. She always says that she...
Yeah, I think think you're right, Joanne. She denies all the charges, and I think she's even working with a Iowa-based discrimination lawyer to negotiate a settlement with the NWSL. I know those processes are ongoing, but in any event, she says that it's unfair. She denies the allegations. How have the FAI responded, and are the teams, are the players, and indeed the FAI supporting her?
Yeah, I suppose the FAI. Some of the lead players, you know, your Katie McCabe's and your Denise O'Sullivan, that everything is okay. I suppose the right thing to do would have been to have done an independent, not even an investigation, but I suppose a survey of the players, just to make sure, you know, that everything is okay. And I think Vera would have probably supported that as well. You know, I'd say she, by the looks of it, she's pretty confident that what she's doing with the Irish Women's National Team is working. And I think, as Katie McCabe said at the press conference, they are professional players at the end of the day. They will eventually, you know, they have fights with the coach, you know, about certain ways that, you know, she's coaching or certain tactics that she wants to put forward, you know. And I think from Katie McKay's perspective, she said that she personally backs the coach, you know. She's the only kind of player who's publicly come out and said it. The rest are, you know, kind of in you know, between negotiations with the FAI. But as I said, I think the FAI should have done an independent investigation themselves and just checked with all the other players involved with whether everything is okay.
Joanne, from FAI to FIFA, obviously, as we know, there was a lot of criticism of FIFA during the Men's World Cup because of the host Qatar's record on human rights and you know, issues such as their lack of support for the LGBT plus community. Have FIFA done any better for the Women's World Cup?
No, they still managed to stumble from controversy into controversy. So they've actually still banned the One Love armband. So the one that you probably would have seen Alex Scott wore on the BBC and the one that was causing controversy last year. So at the moment, they have a list of World Cup captains' armbands that are very kind of... I suppose we call it the live, laugh, love of equality. So it's very much, you know, unite for world hunger, unite for, you know, abuse, you know, unite for all this. We play for passion and poverty and all that kind of stuff. So they're very saturated versions of One Love, I suppose, but very much not to annoy. And I think as well, they actually had contacted Visit Saudi Arabia wondering would they be interested in sponsoring.
I was wondering, Joanne, I was reading you last week. So you were reading last week, Joanne, or writing rather last week, I was reading it, about male peer support in the GAA. And I was just wondering, you know, given the extraordinary rise of support for women's soccer, are male soccer players supportive of their female colleagues?
Yeah, I think we've seen that with the Irish Women's National Team. Seamus Coleman entered into negotiations on behalf of the Men's National Team for the equal pay programme that was being developed by the FAI for the Women's National Team. He very much entered into negotiations knowing that, you know, the men's were probably going to lose a little bit of money. But then again, they're very wealthy from their own club, so it wasn't really much of an issue. So, yeah, they've been very public coming forward. But I suppose as well, you do have situations, you know, just last month, I think we had the Male Football Ally of the Year Award, which is a new award, and it was given to Harry Kane of Spurs. And if you go through any of Harry supporting women, so I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. But yeah, he was able to get the Male Ally Award. But, you know, you've like the Ian Wright as well over in England, who constantly is doing punditry, showing up for Arsenal, mentoring the girls as well. So, you know, there are people who are doing great things, and then there are some who aren't necessarily doing things very publicly, let's say.
And tell me this, Joanne, with all of the Irish people who are in Australia, are they all going to be descending on the venues? Will we see them all turn up? And do you think there'll be many people going over in terms of the support? And will we get to see the games ourselves at home?
Yeah, the games are all live on RTE2. First game is kicking off against Australia at 11 a.m. on the 20th of July. So the games are actually at an okay time for us as well over here. So yeah, it should be interesting to see all the expats abroad. A friend of mine, she's living in Australia. She's in a 2-bed apartment and she's saying all of a sudden she's sleeping 15. So she doesn't know how that happened. But yeah, it should be very exciting to see, you know, everyone going over. And I think, you know, one of the worries was that the girls are playing very much on opposite sides of Australia. But I think that's not going to stop all the Irish abroad from descending onto Perth and Sydney for the big games.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant to see it, I think. July 26th, we're playing Canada at the Perth Rectangular Stadium, and July 31st, playing Nigeria at Lang Park in Brisbane. Joanne, no doubt we'll be back to you for coverage of those games. But for now, thank you very, very much, Joanne O'Riordan, and we'll take a quick break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.